Good morning, everyone. Those that are in the fellowship hall, please come on in. We're going to get started. We have a special service for you today, and we're going to have Christian Riviera speak with us this morning, and his family's going to share some special music, but I don't want to give it all away. So actually, just like to pray for something a little different this morning is pray for unity in our community and in our nation. I think that's something that we really need right now. And so I'll just start, and if you want to pray, go ahead, and then we'll go ahead and start our service. Lord, we do thank you so much for this country, how you give us freedom to speak, to do the right thing, and to meet people, to communicate, to talk about different ideas. Lord, we just thank you for that. And I just thank you that you would bring unity within this nation and peace and joy and love, Lord, and all the things that you are in our midst. You are the Lord of all, and you are creator. We look to you for truth, for justice, for love, and for understanding, for unity. And we once again, we commit this work to you, and I ask that you bless the service this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Christian Rivera, and today we are going to have a special message that is going to come from the Bible, from the Scripture, and also from personal experiences, not only mine, but also personal experiences of my family and friends and people from this neighborhood and people from other towns as well. And today we wanna start this by singing a song that you know. It's called the Revelation Song. And why we wanna start this message this way is because I do believe that someday, when we get in front of God, all tribes, all nations, all tongues are gonna sing together this song. And the song comes also from the Bible, from Revelations. It says that after this, I looked there, before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvations belong to our Lord, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders, and the four living creatures fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Please stand up and worship with us. Thank you. sara tu poder.
Tú eres nuestro rey, por siempre
y siempre.
Holy, holy, holy,
sara la rama. All creation has seen praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Coronado en alabanzas, magnificente, resplandece.
Gloria, poder y honra, dominio, ay, no, no, al único y santo Dios.
I see praise to the King of Kings.
also I could have seen, I had the opportunity to see his weakness and how weak he was because of, you know, of the treatment that he received. But that was difficult. But when I go back to 11 years ago and actually moved to the U.S., even that experience even was more difficult and more painful than my dad. And I was really, I was shocked that I actually lived for in my first 5 years in the U.S. I was depressed, really. I was depressed. I was angry at God. I was angry with my family as well. I was angry with myself because I was not able to be happy and enjoy, you know, and have those feelings that I used to have in my own country with my people, with my friends, with my church, with this lifestyle that I had. And I was facing a new reality, a new way of living, a new language. And I felt like this is not good. There was a point that, you know, my wife and I went through a crisis. Really, was very deep. I considered many times to go back to Peru. I couldn't handle it to live here. But God, you know, had a purpose. Had a different plan for me. Had a different plan for my family, for my wife. And probably that's the reason that I'm here, standing in front of you today. This is just my story. There are many people, you know, here in town, in West Chicago, here in the U.S., that bring their own stories, bring their own background. And the cool thing is, like, our stories are very little. They're like, you know, to be a word, to be a theory, to be a moment. It's part of this beautiful story, you know, written in the Bible. But it's just, you know, this is a little part of it, you know, the whole picture. And I want to continue by I have something very cool for you. Two days ago I was with my daughter
Yes, I have to say that when I was in Peru, this is many of my friends, even my professors and teachers, said, "Hey, Christian, you should become you should work in a radio." And I said, "Okay." And some people here also, friends that I know, "Hey, why are you not working in a radio right now?" Like, I don't know. They found like I have like a strong voice or something that actually could be appealing to do the job, but. I never consider that, but yeah, it's there. But it's there. It's there. Okay. Going back, this is something that I have for you, and this is called the gift of a stranger. Okay. The gift of a stranger is something that something that I've been really meditating for a long time. About my own experience, the experience of others, as well as like really taking the time to research, you know, to read about this, to watch and hear sermons about this, and going back to this movie, The American Tale. We're gonna watch.
It'd be nice to get to America where we don't have to worry about cats anymore. There are no cats in America. But back home in Mother Russia, our family was traveling through the snow to Minsk. Suddenly Papa saw those huge paw prints. When I heard him screaming, I fainted dead away. And I woke up an orphan. Oh, yeah.
But
there are no gas in America, and the streets are paved with cheese. Oh, there are no gas in America, so set your mind at ease.
Alla cosa terribile che esiste nella patria mia! Do you think the pigs were bad in Russia? You should see things in my country. The times were hard in Sicily. We had no provolone. The Don, he was a tabby with a taste for my brother Tony. When Mama went to plead for him, the Don said he would see her. We found her rosary on the ground. Poor Mamma Mia. But
there are no cats in America, and the streets are paved with cheese.
That's something that actually, when I was a kid, I watched this movie when I was a kid. I really believed that, no, that meant what many people believe, like, no, the American dream, no, the American is the perfect. Awesome. Thanks. Well, this is loud, too. Okay. Great. Thank you so much. Really, I appreciate that. Now, let's do this. Now, have a seat. Let's have a seat. Probably you're going to do this again, but I want to see. Now, stand up if you were born in another state than Illinois. If you were born in a... Okay. Good. Now, have a seat. Thank you. Now, stand up if you have lived in a different state or country for more than a year. State or, okay. Finally, stand up if you have moved from a different town than where you're currently living. All right. Well, I want to make my point here, okay? That, how was it now? Thank you. The Bible reminds us that we're people in exile. I really wish that this fairy tale was just made out of it was fiction, but actually, there you go. There is a click. Momento, give me a second. Oh, can you move to the next slide? Okay, there you go. Thank you. I really wish that American tale was just a tale and was made out of fiction, but it's not. Actually, this is very real. This is very real. Not only people migrating to the U.S., it's people migrating to different places around the world. Also in Peru, a lot of Venezuelan people are coming to Peru to really. Escape from corruption, escape from political issues. probably a lot of them, if they stay in their homelands, they're going to really die because of political persecution. And for them, Peru has become the promised land, a place where they can have a good life. They can really give opportunity to their families. But again, Peru as America, also we have cats. We have dangers. We have our streets are not paved with cheese, and it's the truth. Then the Bible reminds us that we all people are in exile and on the move. No matter what your family story might be, somewhere in that story is the story of moving from one place to another. And this is going to be happening also for future generations. Some people have left a place they call home and going to a place that seems strange and unusual and fearsome. For instance, I want to quote some verses from the Bible that says, there you go. I'm going to put them. In Genesis 12:1 says, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And Leviticus 19:33-34 says that when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And in Numbers 9:14 says, a foreigner residing among you is also to celebrate the Lord's Passover in accordance with the rule and regulations. Then this story, a lot of times we are afraid that newcomers might do to us or bring to us. Many times the political climate and culture we live can force us to forget really our identity as followers of Jesus. For many people, migration is not a choice. No one enters into lightly, especially from people who have been persecuted and politically oppressed in their own countries. Probably you know about this organization that is located in Carroll Stream and also in other towns close by. It's World Relief, a nonprofit Christian organization that has been used by the U.S. government to help replace many refugees to our community here in West Chicago. Many of those kids really attend our schools. They live among us right here in town. Others become others come because they know if they stay in their countries, their children, they will never have the opportunities to escape the cycle of poverty and have the opportunities that our family enjoys in this country. Most of these immigrants have two choices. Really is struggling in their countries or sometimes really risking their life in order to live or provide for their families. In the video that I show you, the American tale, you hear the mice suffering and the hardship in their home countries. They truly believe that once they arrive in the U.S., the threats, in this case the cats, in our case poverty or political danger, could be gone. But they could live in peace and prosperity. However, the reality usually is that they are just living one set of threats and suffering for another. The suffering of feeling viewed as ignorance because of the challenges of learning a new language, and the reality that the cost of living and the reality that finding job that usually the use your actual skill set is limited because your qualifications, certifications don't transfer. Or just the challenge of having to figure out a whole new value system or cultural norms so you cannot fit in, or even just to survive in a whole new culture and world. If we look at the book of Leviticus, we're commanded to love the aliens as we love ourselves. As well, we should treat them as neighbors. When we look at the New Testament, we are called to compassion, love for the neighbors. My question is, why? Why is it so difficult to love the stranger? Why? I think it's because in our deepest humanity, we are fearful people. We are anxious people about a changing world. Even more, we are scared of the unknown and to put ourselves out of our comfort zone, to try and understand how someone different from us thinks, talks, feels, and lives. It's awkward and uncomfortable, but it's real. I wanna make a pause here, and I want to use an example. I wanna use Rebecca, one of our church members, that she embraces very well, and I think she's a good example of this church. How to love others. Like, she sometimes constantly texts my wife asking her, "Hey, I'm trying to communicate with the parents of these kids, but I don't know exactly how to tell them this in Spanish, and they don't understand English." And she doesn't really get much frustrated. Her love for those kids and those families overcomes that fear, overcomes that anxiety that might cause to be close to those relationships, and also I have seen like that now with our new people from the Hispanic community helping us to reach the community. I'm talking about Hugo, I'm talking about Orilong and their wives who helps in the WANA program. When I talked to them first time about the idea of working together, they, especially the wives, were, how are we gonna do this? How are we gonna go and do this endeavor with them? Like, we are afraid to really to talk in Spanish. We don't feel comfortable to do so. But still, there was a higher call. There was a higher purpose. And therefore, they are with us today. And they are working. And they are really excited now that we're doing this together. Jesus called us to that higher reality. One in which we don't have to be afraid. You might have seen signs in people's yard here in town proclaiming, "I'm not afraid." I'm always, with my bike. It's something that I enjoy to do all seasons. I do. And I see the signs in our neighborhood. "I'm not afraid." And what he's saying is, "No, I'm not afraid of the stranger. I'm not afraid of getting the opportunity to welcome them, to know them." Therefore, we shouldn't be anxious, because God has already brought life out of death, and because we are already participating in that abundant life, right here, right now. What I want you to go back very quick is when did it start this? And I think it started with in the story of Babel, and we're gonna use that story of the Tower of Babel right now, and we're gonna go over this very quick. Now, the whole world had one language, one speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They say to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They use bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heaven so that we can make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to the city and the tower and the tower the people were building, the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do this will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over the earth. They stopped building the city. That is what was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. In the here, what I have seen is especially in verse 4, when it says that when it says, "Come, let us build ourselves a city," what I'm seeing is again humans are making the same mistake as they did in the garden. They were prideful. They want to have the status of God. They wanted to become independent. They wanted to become like as God. And that's why God decided to intervene. But something cool happened here, and probably this is gonna be something different that you have heard before. In the beginning, God created this world signal, among other things, that Babel is not the beginning. In the beginning, He created, our Creator in this chapter, make space for diversity. From a formless boy into a spectacular diverse creation, where God repeatedly saw and declared good and even very good. I believe that diversity was the solution, was not a punishment. This action didn't only give the chance to see diversification of people and their cultures and languages, but also the opportunity to spread out around the world, to explore and live in other lands, and to start the restoration of the division between humans and God, between humans and humans. Finally, these diverse groups carried with them the different aspects of God's heart. In Genesis 1:26 says that let us make men in our image. Even God Himself is diversified, not just one aspect, but three in one, after our likeness. And then in verse 27 says, God created men in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. When God created humanity, He created all humanity in His image. So, when He spread out humanity after their all different cultures and languages in His image, no one culture or language group has a claim on God's image. And the other just became an inferior or lesser culture. All we're still created in God's image. The solution to the problem of humanity striving to be God is that all cultures could be humble, to unite with each other to see the full image of God. That no one culture is superior to another, but all can help to reflect the other image of God. And this is, I'm going to give some examples of this. Like in my... When I moved to the U.S., something that I struggle a lot, especially in this culture, is like people here, you want to be certain. You want to be certain that things is going to happen. And you become very anxious. Most people here become very anxious because you don't know how to deal with uncertainty. And I'm going to give you an example back in Peru. At least once a month, I used to see people dying, kids dying. Age of eight, I was eight, and I saw really other kids dying because of accidents, because of illnesses. And I'm not saying that it was okay, but I have learned to say, God, if you're there, you are taking care of this. But here it seems like, if something comes your way and was not planned and unexpected, everything falls apart. And it's what I'm seeing. Something that we're seeing also is for young generation students who are going, moving to from high school to college, like the expectations, like, you know, most students are expected to go and get a degree. You know? Something that even when I was 20 years old, really it never crossed my mind to become a professional. I was okay where I was living. I was okay, you know, doing what is, you know, the way that I was living, and, you know, being a good person, being content with the little I have, because I had very little. But here, you have so many choices, really so many choices, that I struggle really a lot to, you know, even going to Aldi's, going to Walmart, going to Target, I do really struggle. I have to tell you, my best place to go shopping is Goodwill and Dress for Less. And I will tell you why. And if you go to these places, you will see a lot of immigrants there that are not from the U.S. And there is a reason why. There are less options. And you really have to be content with the price you get. Like it's usually a better price than going to Kohl's and other places. I have to really enjoy that because, you know, you go into the hunting of, you know, getting what you want. If you don't find it, that's okay. I don't really need to spend, like, a lot of money, you know, buying, you know, expensive stuff. The other thing is something that was actually very is when I came, I was really very surprised how many people really struggle with, you know, with anxiety and depression. And it has to be, and one way to, you know, I cannot say that in Peru, in Latin America, we don't struggle with things like that. We do. But but in countries like Latin America, we do have, like, we have people that want to invest and to be next to you, to work alongside of you. Christians are also not Christians who wants to get, not be, not pouring into your life. And something that here is really a problem, because here in the U.S. it's like more living, you know, achieving your own goals, you know, living more independently. Well, going back to this, I'm almost done. I want to define just the stranger. The Hebrew word that is translated by the King James Version, a stranger, in Exodus 23:9, it is the word gerim, the singular of which is ger. It comes from the verb gur, to live or reside somewhere, and ger, in the Bible, is someone residing outside his own people's land, or even he himself has never lived or been in that land. A stranger is someone who is obviously not from here. There is an author that says that, whose name is Gert Simmel, says, the nature of the stranger is marked at the same time by both distance and closeness. People far away from us are not strangers. They are just unknown people to us. They became strangers only when they enter in our world, in our group. Also, this author says that the position of the stranger is determined essentially by the fact that he has not belonged to it from the beginning, that imparts qualities we do not and cannot esteem from the group itself. Therefore, we should value and appreciate and embrace the blessings that come with them. In addition to that, the Bible doesn't say anything about whether they are legal or illegal. It doesn't say anything about whether they are simply passing through or planning to stay, fleeing persecution or seeking asylum. It simply tells us to welcome the stranger. There is no other way to understand this word. I found out that there is just one way to tackle reconciliation among nations, among people, among tribes, from different parts of the world, within community here also in the church. And it comes, I'm gonna use the verse that comes from 1 Corinthians 13. They say, if I speak in tongues, no, and know also other cultures of men or angels, but I don't have love, I'm only a surrounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, could be also teaching or leading, and I can fathom all mysteries and all acknowledge, and if I have have faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love for God, love for our neighbors, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, the needy, the sick, the stranger, and I give over my body to hardship that I might boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. I think that's what God is calling us. And I believe that is something that have attracted me to this church, is that I can see in the deepest of you, you are willing to open your heart to love others, to love the stranger, to love people like me, to love people that are from other parts of the world who live in this community. I'm going to conclude by saying this. Christians are called to play a role in God's story, but it will only do so grounded in grows out of love and out of a biblical reconciliation for justice, peace among nations. It must be shaped by respect for other images bearers of God. It must be eager to hear the other. It must be driven by love for God and for one's neighbor. How we treat others is reflective of how we have been treated. We have been shown great mercy and kindness, and we should do the same for those who are considered a stranger among us. We must remember that we too were foreigners to our homeland of faith, but Jesus Christ broke down the wall of separation and reconciled us to himself and for him. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you all are one in Jesus Christ. For us, we should say there is no male or female, Jew or Greek, bond or freeman, or resident or alien, that what the Bible teaches in regards on how we should treat strangers. And I want to just affirm that, you know, you're doing this. And I'm very excited how God is going to, you know, keep working in this church, and how he himself, through you, is going to bring more people in, or it's going to, really transform people and share the gospel, through sharing the gospel with others. But this is what I wanted to share with you today. Could you please bow your heads and let's pray together. And Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to grow and to learn from you. We believe that your word speaks truth to our life. We believe that you brought us together. You want us to become united. At the same time, you love how you love the people that you brought in. You love your creation. You love the diversity that you created, and you there is so much to learn from each other. And I pray that we are going to become humble to do so. I pray that we're gonna keep growing because this is your desire. That someday we'll be singing together where all nations, all tribes, people speaking different tongues are going to be in front of your throne singing to you, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.